Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Formbook, looking ahead to a bumper 8-race card at Cheltenham on Saturday. For Festival Trials Day, will we see a potential Cheltenham Festival contender emerge? Will we see a horse maybe go on to complete the Festival Trials Day and Cheltenham Festival double? It's all coming up on the latest edition of the Formbook. Joining me to look ahead to this bumper weekend of action live on Racing TV. Remember, you can watch every race live on the channel. Andy Stevens, The Score, and Harry Allwood. Come to you first, Andy. How much are you looking forward to a bumper weekend of action at Prestbury Park?
It's a tremendous day, isn't it? I mean, it is billed as Festival Trials, but as a standalone meeting, it is very, very good. And we've also got a bonus, of course, again this year with the Clarence House being added to the card. So we've got some 8 races in all, 60-odd runners, £700,000 prize money, some horses that are very prominent already in the Cheltenham Festival betting. And the weather set fair, you know, Friday looks dry, Saturday looks mild and good for us as well. So, yeah, it should be a splendid day's action.
Lots to look forward to. Harry, are you going to be on track? You're looking forward to seeing all the action?
I will be, yeah. I'll be setting the alarm nice early on Saturday morning, ready to go to chat. I live about 40 minutes away, so not a bad journey for me. It's currently good to soft in places at the time of talking on Thursday morning, but we've got obviously high winds forecast again, I believe, for tomorrow, not much rain forecast, so I think it'll be going good to soft before off time on Saturday morning. That's what officials at Cheltenham certainly said earlier this week anyway. A cracking card to look forward to, as Andy mentioned. Clarence House Chase also taking centre stage on Saturday. Loads of Cheltenham Festival clues will be on offer as well. And I really can't wait. I must say that the racing looked pretty tricky though. I don't want to get my excuse in too early, but it's a real competitive race. Exactly what we want to see. And roll on Saturday.
Competitive action across the card. Just give you a look back though on New Year's Day. The last time we had the Formbook on, we gave 3 winners, 3-1 Liberty Hunter, Andy tipped up Shake 'Em Up, Harry at 11-2, and Bob Allen Ollinger was his 6-4 nap. Remember to check out the Racing TV website for the latest tips, news, race cards, and of course you can watch all the action on there as well. So make sure you head to racingtv.com. Without further ado, why don't we get straight into the action? Competitive card, as mentioned by the guys, and we'll start off with the 12:05. This is the Triumph Trial. 7 contenders: Burdett Road, Sergino, Cosmic Soul, Ellerton, Exelero, Lefauve, and Milantino. We're recording this just after 10 o'clock when the decks come out, but at that time, just before that, Burdett Road was your even money favourite, and Sergino was at 9-4. Harry, do you think the market, though, had it right with Burdett Road as favourite?
Sadly, I do, Danny. Yeah, quite boring, but I think he's the one to beat in this contest. I've been really impressed with him, to be honest, on his first few starts over hurdles, and he's obviously got that flat experience under his belt as well. He was a high-class flat performer too, having won at Royal Ascot and gone well in a couple of graded races as well. I think with regards to Sergino last time out, he was very green over the last couple of hurdles and a bit novice, and that's why I think Burdett Road has the edge here, having that flat experience under his belt as well. He was a little bit sloppy with his jumping last time out and on debut at Huntingdon a couple of starts ago as well, but because he's got that experience on the flat under his belt, I just think he's going to be a little bit more streetwise on Saturday. If you ask me who do I think would be the better horse in a year's time, I probably would say Sergino, because obviously got a big engine as he showcased at Kempton last time out. But I think at this stage of his career, he's going to need to produce a big performance to beat Burdett Road, who has produced already high-class form. His form has worked out as well. The runner-up in his race last time out at Cheltenham won again next time out at the same venue. And I think he's the one to beat. Although he is around evens now, I probably won't take too much shorts, because it's not like Sergino isn't that big a rival. He is a big rival. He's got a big engine, as I say. But I just think Burdett Road, with that experience under his belt, is the one to beat in the opener.
One vote then for Burdett Road, stable star for James Owen. Andy, do you feel differently? Are you in the Sergino camp?
I am marginally, Danny, yes. I think both the horses have massive potential, aren't they? But one's even money and the other one's 9-4. So I would be with Sugino. I'd have reservations about Burdett Rhodes jumping. He just seems to, there's a couple of hurdles there where he just ran straight through them, didn't pick his feet up at all. He's not going to be able to do that if he's going to progress and go to the very top. But interesting, they had him, didn't they, in the Unibet hurdle later on the card. He's still entered in the champion hurdle, this four-year-old. They've clearly got huge ambitions for this horse. And, you know, it's lovely to see a Royal Ascot winner strutting his stuff at Cheltenham. I don't think he's a son of Muharrar, isn't he? He's a champion sprinter. That's where he gets a lot of his pace from. But Muharrar does get a lot of horses that stay well, so that's where he's got the stamina too. But no, Sugino, when he won at Kempton, we're going to watch it here. Whoa, a lovely big jump there. He's going to make a chase in time, isn't he? He's a big stamp of a horse. What I liked about him here at Kempton, it looked like being a fairly close finish, and then by the finish he is absolutely motored clear. You know, I think once he gets a little tap down the shoulder there, he's off. Clumsy, a little bit clumsy again at the last, needs to be a bit more nimble on his feet perhaps. But I think, don't worry about this Kempton race. Look back at the race at Auteuil, the listed race he won there in April. That race is always yields good horses, and it's interesting that he was bought by Joe Donnelly. Joe Donnelly, out of that same race at Auteuil, he bought State Man when he actually finished second. And it's a really solid marker for the future. They had a really good tussle. He had a really good tussle of a horse called Salvatore Mundi. Now, that horse has actually gone to Willie Mullins, hasn't resurfaced yet. That Sugino's about 6-1 for the Triumph. If he wins on Saturday, I think he'll be a short-priced favourite for the Triumph. Keep an eye on that Salvatore Mundi, though, because he was second in that Auteuil race, and he's about 14-16-1. He might run at the Dublin Racing Festival. But no, I think Sugino, as Harry mentioned, he probably is more of a horse for the future. But Nicky Henderson, you know, if he feels he's up to this on Saturday, I think that's a tip in itself.
Okay, so Andy then with Sugino in that 12.05, there you can see your evidence, and Harry is with Burnett Road in the opener. Salvatore Mundi, don't get confused with the John Gosden train runner as well. That sometimes comes up on your racing TV app. Looking ahead then to the 12.40, this is a pretty competitive affair. Betting already out for this. 4-1 joints is Ginny's Destiny and Blow Your Wad. Es Perfecto, bit of a mover this week at 5-1. Titan are belts at 6s. Theatreman 7s. Persian Times at 7-1 as well. And take a quick look at the full field. There you go. 12 runners go to Postal Luxor, Railway Hurricane, Charles Ritz, Prairie Wolf at bigger prices. Come to you first on this occasion, Andy. Who do you like in this?
Well, it's sponsored by Time from this race. And just to say for them, they've got Ginny's Destiny as their top rated for the race for Paul Nichols, with a P as well, still improving. He's earned that 12 stone, hasn't he? Very impressive last time where he beat Great Dawning. Probably a little bit lucky on the day. We're going to watch it here. There's Great Dawning making an absolute horlicks of two out and then running on strongly. But you've got to jump the fences, and that's certainly what Ginny's Destiny does. And, of course, Grey Dawning has gone on from this and won in really good style at Warwick, albeit that was up to 3 miles. He's now racing off 147, this Ginny's Destiny, on Saturday. I think he might be vulnerable to Theatre Man, who's got to give the best part of a stone to Richard Bandy's 8-year-old. He's only had 8 runs, Theatre Man. But first time maybe he bumped into a well-handicapped John Joe O'Neill horse, Inchhouse, that's it. Inchhouse was running off 120 that day, won off 130 the next time, then ran well off 137. So I think it's fair to say Theatre Man was unlucky to bump into him first time over fences. Then last time at Newbury, looked like winning over 3 miles, didn't quite get home. But I thought that's really solid form. Dropping back to 2.5 miles is going to suit him. And I had a quick look at the race IQ data with him, and that shows up just how well he gets from A to B. He gained 8.17 lengths at Newbury, and before that, he gained 6 lengths as well. So he's a really slick jumper. I think getting plenty of weight from Ginny's Destiny, he should go really well. And 7-1, I thought, was pretty fair value each way if you want a safety blanket.
Okay, that's a look at Theatre Man. Quick look VT-wise at Blow Your Wad, who was a good winner at Kempton on Boxing Day. Another horse who still could be open to more improvement. He and Ginny's Destiny at the top of the market. Form of this race hasn't taken too many knocks so far, but I just wonder whether Blow Your Wad is open to as much progression as a couple of others in this field. But there's no doubting that he does deserve his place at the top of the market based on this performance. So Blow Your Wad, definitely another to consider. But Harry Allwood, you're looking elsewhere.
I am, Danny, yeah. And the horse I like in this is Titan Our Belts, who was really impressive at Ludlow 3 starts ago on his chasing debut. he's always looked to chase for an amazing bacon, basically. And I thought that Ludlow victory was seriously impressive. I watched it again last night, and he just, the way he travelled through that race, he had the race from a long way from home. He jumped really well too. And although he's a stone higher now, I definitely think he's capable of defying his current mark. He was slightly outclassed next time out of the John Frankham, and obviously chased that newbie behind Hermes Allen and Nickelback. But those two rivals are rated in the high 140s, which makes his rate of 1-8 look fairly feasible, I would say, and workable as well. I definitely have him as a 140-plus rated performer in the making anyway. I think you can forgive his run last time out in the quarter start at Kempton. I don't think any horse is going to get close to Ile Francais on that occasion. And I'd probably say Hermes Allen deserves a bit more credit for getting as close as he did to him on that occasion too. The race IQ data Andy mentioned there also tells us that Ile Francais gained loads of lengths with his jumping as well. So I'm happy to put a line through that effort from Tighten Our Belts last time out. And back in this company, I'd be expecting him to go close. I was looking back at a couple of stable tours Emma Laval did at the start of season two, and she said she had high hopes for this horse, who is definitely progressing. And I reckon, providing he acts around Cheltenham, I don't think there's any concern about that. He jumped so well. I don't think I'll have any problem going back left-handed either. And he would be my nap of the day on Saturday.
Okay, so 6-1 currently the price about Tighten Our Belt. So Theatre Man for Andy in that 12:40 and Harry with Tighten Our Belts. We move on to the 1:15, which is another competitive puzzle for punters to solve. Here's a look at the runners, 13 go to post. Some familiar names in this: Hitman, Gar Lord, Jatois, Lil Redotto, Bill Baxter, Easy As That, Et Al. In terms of how they bet, it's 4-1 Fav, Il Redotto, 11-2 Excello, who is unexposed, 8-1 for Jatois and Victorino, 9-1 for Gar Lore, Hitman, 10-1 Bar, the price of Easy As That, Grandeur Dem, and more. So that's a look at the 1:15 in terms of the betting. Come to you first on this occasion, Andy. Who do you like in the 1:15?
Oh, a little bit dull, Danny. I'm going to stick with Il Redotto. I know he's favourite, but an absolute cracker again, didn't he, last time? You know, he's a standing dish at Cheltenham, got very solid form. I think his form on the new course is marginally better than the old course as well. Last time in the December Gold Cup, got nutted, didn't he? Just on the line by Fugitive in a very exciting finish. Here he is here. Yeah,
this looks like December Gold Cup.
This is December Gold Cup. Oh, clear over the last, and Fugitive is coming to nail him. And it looks like Fugitive is going to go past and win by a couple of lengths at this stage, because he's gone very hard in front with Brani there. But he actually rallies, doesn't he, fairly tenaciously at Irredoto when he comes back to him, and there's only a short head between them at the line. I think the important thing for looking at Saturday's race is that on that particular occasion, Ferreira Bamboo was an absolute pest for Irredoto. The two of them locked horns from a long way out. Had a really prolonged battle for the lead, and you thought they both will, but they didn't. On this occasion, it looks flicked through the field. He's the only habitual sort of front runner in the field. So I think Harry Cobden might be able to control slightly easier fractions and then turn the screw in the second half of the race. So Il Redotto for me.
Okay, that's a look at Il Redotto for Andy. We'll also take a very brief look back at the win in the race in 2023, again, when he was meeting his old rival, Fugitive. The fact that Harry Cobden's back aboard, Bryony was a fantastic deputy, but Harry seems to get on just as well with this horse as well, Andy.
Yeah, Bryony, obviously, it's a pity she's not on, really, because she does certainly get a tune out of him. He looks a pretty straightforward ride, though. He's a horse that's always looking for his next fence. He's £10 higher than when he won here, but, you know, he's just improved bit by bit with his racing. He's got a smashing attitude. As I say, you can almost sit your watch by him. He's very consistent. And I think last time was a personal best. And as I say, I just think the circumstances of this race, you know, given that he might just get that an easier time up front if he gets in a rhythm, the others are certainly going to have him to peg back.
Okay, that's Il Redotto for Andy. Harry, what about yourself?
I quite like Excello in this race, Danny. He's a French recruit who's joined Nick Henderson recently and has two starts in Britain so far. He actually ran in a novice hurdle on his British debut a couple of starts ago before switching the fences last time out. That was a three-winner race at Ascot. I thought he won really impressively that day. He beat the 149 rated solo in pretty good style, if I'm honest. Jumped really well, and it should be a lot more to come from. I think he's the one who's open to most progress in this field. And while it'd be a tough task for him, being a five-year-old, taking on some season handicappers. I think he is a graded performer in the making. It's a wide open contest. I wouldn't say he's a strong bet for me, but at the price, I just think he's the one to side with. Just quickly on Il Redotto, he had a hard race last time out, which is a slight niggle for me here. He's gone up another £5 since that run as well. And after he won this race last year, he then went to the festival. I don't think he quite showed his best that day. He still ran creditably, but I think with that hard race under his belt now, another few pounds on his back, I think he'll need to step up again, I think, to win. So Excello for me, but I do think it is a wide open contest.
Okay, that's a look at the first three races. After this short break, we'll have a look at the graded races coming up. First up, then, is the Cotswold. Ahoy, Senor, Capodanno, that's all right, Gino, Royal Pagai, Stay Away, Faye, The Real Wacker, a small but select sextet going to post for this. Harry Allwood, who do you like?
Through the process of elimination, Danny, I've sided with The Real Wacker. It's a cracking race, and I think you can pick holes in every single runner in the field, really. Just going through them quickly, Ahoy, Senor pulled up on his last two starts. A leap of faith is required to choose him now, even though he won the race last year, but he hasn't shown much at all on his past couple of starts. He obviously bounced back to form where he did win this race last year, but he did have a promising run two starts prior to that, whereas this season he's shown not much at all. So I think he's just a one to watch now. Royal Pagal obviously won a Betfair Chase last time out. I think that was his Gold Cup, though. He's never quite shown his best at Cheltenham, and I think the ground might be on the quick side for him as well. So I think there's reasons to take him on as well. Stay Away, Faye, rated 150. He got a bit to find. If this was a handicap, he'd be receiving plenty of weight from his rivals too. So he needs to step up again. Listen to an interview that Paul Nicholls did a couple of days ago. He sort of said, yeah, he's there for the experience around Cheltenham over fences before he heads to the festival. And I think that it'll require a big performance basically from him to win. That's right, Gino, impressive winner of the Coral Gold Cup last time out, but he's now got an extra stone to carry. Obviously, going into open company, he needs to step up again on what he showed there and improve a bit more, I think, because he basically won a handicap last time out, despite it being impressive. And this is, he's really been thrown into the deep end here. So I think Capodanno ran well in Savills Chase last time out, but might have been slightly flattered by that performance because the race sort of fell apart behind Gallop and the Champs, who were so impressive that day. The Real Wacker, you can pick holes in him too, but I thought his King George run was a bit more promising than his first run, which I think you can ignore because he finished lame and got struck into in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. I don't think Kempton was his track last summer. He never really seemed too comfortable, but I think switching back to Cheltenham, where he's shown his best form in the past, obviously won the Brown Advisory last season too, I think there's reason to believe he will bounce back on Saturday. And in what is, again, an open contest, I thought he was the one to side with.
Okay, the Royal Wacker for Harry. You saw the betting, by the way, that scrolled down the bottom of your screen. So the Royal Wacker currently around 9-2. Andy?
I thought it was an Ifs and Buts race, Danny. It's, where do we stand with most of these sixes, as sort of Harry alluded to there. We're not quite sure which versions of which horse are going to turn up on the day. But the one I like best is That's All Right, Gino. I thought that was a tremendous performance in the Coral Gold Cup at Newbury. You usually need to race near the pace in that race and not be too far off it. Now, Gavin Sheehan sat right at the back and went past everything. And that is not easy to do in that particular race. That was really his first attempt at a long distance. He clearly relished the trip. He's completely unexposed at staying distances. I've been keeping an eye on the weather for him all week. I put him up at 6-1 on Monday in the hope that we get good to soft ground. I think he's definitely going to get his ground. I don't think, looking at his record, he's a horse that wants particularly, he doesn't want soft ground or heavy ground or that. He likes to a little bit of bounce under his feet. Actually ran well on this card last year behind Stage Star. That form certainly hasn't worked out too badly, has it? It was officially soft that day, but I think the times indicated it was good to soft. So for me, he's the really improving horse. I know Stay Away Faye is obviously a novice that's come into it on the up as well, but I can't quite see how Stay Away Faye. I think he's as short as 5-2 in places. How he's 7-2 and That's All Right, Gino is 6-1 is beyond me. That Newbury form is rock solid. He beat two other very good improving horses there, second season chasers, generally always stands up at the Coral Gold Cup or Hennessy form, and he'll do for me.
Okay, that's all right. Gino, who's still 6-1 with Ladbrokes. Just a brief word on a couple of the others. Harry mentioned Ahoy Senor. Just a look back on the race last year, Andy. What do you make of his chances 12 months on?
I think he's a horse we've all got a soft spot for, isn't he? Because he's a high-class chaser, even though he tries to take the odd fence back to Scotland with him as a souvenir. I mean, his Cheltenham form is very, very good. Second in a Brown Advisory. Then, of course, he won here, the Cotswold. This is what he's all about. You know, that jump at the fence, you know, just opens the door for the rival again. Then off he goes again. You know, if he's back in this kind of form, then clearly he's going to go well. And he was running really well in the Gold Cup when he come down as well, when he fell there. But you'd have to worry about his two performances this year. You know, pulled up in the Charlie Hall and then pulled up in the Coral Gold Cup. Obviously, that's all right. Gino won that race. He come home, I think, of a sore heel that day. So they were, I think they're pinning their hopes that, you know, he wasn't 100%. And he's interesting. As I say, there's ifs and buts about all six of these. But I thought that's all right. Gino was the safest option.
I'm going to take a chance. Well, not a chance, but I'm going to be with the youngster, the young pretender, Stairway Fay. Here he is beating Giovinco in the Eastern Novices Chase last time out. He's already a winner at Cheltenham, albeit in the Albert Bartlett at the Cheltenham Festival last year. But I just think in a race where there's question marks about plenty of the runners, Royal Pagaille, does he need it softer? How good is That's All Right, Gino? Can you trust Ahoy Senor, the Real Whacker and Capodanno? They've all got those question marks to answer. I'm going to go with the horse on the up. So the Real Whacker for me.
The other thing we should probably mention in that race, Danny, is tactics. Only six runners, but three of them do like to go from the front. Stairway Fay goes from the front. Ahoy Senor goes from the front. And the Real Whacker goes from the front. So it'd be interesting to see if they bump heads early on. It's something to keep in mind. That's all right, Gino. I keep coming back to him, but you know he's a hold up horse. I'm hoping they go lickety split up front and Gavin Sheehan just bides his time out the back.
2:25 up next is the Clarence Haas, that rescheduled one from Ascot, Editor de Gilles Elixir, and it's Fugitive, John Bon, and Nube Negra. In terms of the betting, 4-1 favourite. 4-11 favourite even is John Bon. Letter to the Jeep, 9-2, 14s and bigger. Won't spend too long on this, chaps. Start with you, Andy. Is it basically jump round for John Bon?
It should be, shouldn't it? Yeah, what are we watching here? This is the Tingle Creek. I don't think he was particularly impressive this day. More workmanlike. That was very heavy ground. He'd been really good, I thought, in the Schlur Chase before this. That was a commanding display. I mean, here's a horse that punters should love. He's been favourite 12 times. And he's won each time. So you can't ask for more than that. And the two races he's lost, he's had the courtesy to let the favourite win. So he's been in 14 races, John Bon. And, you know, the favourite's won every time. So if that sequence carries on, he'll win. And a bit quirky, of course, you've got Editor de Geet in there who won the race last year. Wasn't actually entered originally for the race. He was supplemented. And again, this year, wasn't in the final four. And yet he resurfaces. So it could be quite quirky. He could be a dual winner of the Clarence Haas Chase that was never actually in the race in the first place. And this is him winning last year. He just fends off Edward Stone in the closing stages. I thought Edward Stone should have probably won that day, but he was keeping an eye on Energumene and ended up, well, he hits the front and then Editor de Geet comes back and wins. He went sort of off radar, didn't he, for a little while after that. But his last win at Kempton was much more like it in the Desert Orchid in a handicap. So I think he'll go from the front. He'll probably give John Bon a good test. But we know John Bon is a really strong star at 2 miles. And, you know, you'd fancy that he'd peg him back. Also interesting, they've left Fugitive in the race rather than running him in the handicap early on. I can see the logic of that. I mean, there's decent prize money for second and third, and if something happens to John Bon, then all of a sudden, you know, he's banging contention. But no, all things considered, should be John Bon to win.
John Bon for Andy and Harry. Are you in agreement?
Yeah, echo Andy's thoughts there. I think John Bon, you know, barring accidents, he should win this. Really, been impressive this season, albeit he was a bit workmanlike last time out. But as Andy mentioned, the ground was pretty testing that day. So yeah, he's the best horse in the race. He's got plenty in hand on the ratings too. And yeah, a clear round, he should win as well.
John Bon then, for the guys, this is his win in the Schlur Chase as well. Unbeaten so far this year. Can John Bon deliver the goods in the Clarence Haas Chase? You can watch that race live at 2:25 on Racing TV. So as John Bond leaves us, we'll move on to the 3 o'clock, which is another competitive looking, well, it's a small but select field now after Dex. Let's take a quick look at the runners, who will be headed by Rubo, First Street, Guard Your Dreams, Lossy Mouth, and Love Envoir. Let's come to you first on this occasion, Harry. Who do you like?
Tricky contest, Danny. I've not really got a strong opinion, if I'm quite honest with you. If I was pushed to have a bet, I'd probably go for Love Envoir, who ran an almighty race in the Mayor's Hurdle last season. It's probably one of the best pieces of form on offer here. I just think that she's being campaigned with that race in mind again. So as that's it sound, it is a grade two. Obviously, they'll you know, want to 71,000 to the winner. But I just think she's probably going to progress again from this run with the Mayor's Hurdle in mind. Lossy Mouth doesn't have the benefit of a recent run. So Love Envoir has got that with her, you know, against her as advantage to Lossy Mouth. And Rubo has got plenty of weight to give away too. Say it's not a race I've got a strong opinion on, but if I was forced to have a bet, it would be Love Envoir. But yeah, it's probably a race to watch and go and have a drink while this one's on at Cheltenham on Saturday.
By comparison, Andy, you're keen on the chances of Lossy Mouth. We haven't seen her yet this season. Woody Mullins has taken his time with her, but obviously making the transition from the juvenile races into all open hurdles. Do you think it's probably the right move in terms of taking his time of her, being patient with her before this reappearance?
I guess so. I wouldn't try and tell Willie Mullins what to do. I mean, four-year-olds that go to their next season, five-year-olds, it's like that difficult second album, isn't it? It is generally pretty tough for them. So I think he's clearly given her a bit more time to strengthen up and mature, and it looks like she's going to have a light campaign. I think this falls really nicely for her. He had three in the race, didn't he, at the five-day stage, and she's the chosen one. She was very, very good as a juvenile last year, and this is her winning the Trump. She's the grey just coming to the rail there. She was going to win at really all stages of the race. And look at her there, ears back, looking for the next flight. Everything else is off the bridle. She's just a very slick operator. She should be 6 out of 6, shouldn't she? She had that very unfortunate defeat at the Dublin Racing Festival where she should have won but didn't. Events conspired against her. And here she is galloping up the Cheltenham Hill. Now, she's going to run not in the champion hurdle. They're looking at the Mayor's Hurdle is her intended target. I'd have slight reservations about it. She looks pretty quick to me. I can see why they're doing that. Obviously, the Constitution Hill and their state man in the champion hurdle, and she's only 5. So they're trying to find maybe the easier option. But stamina-wise, that would be the query I'd have. So I wouldn't, even if she wins well on Saturday, I wouldn't be rushing to back of the Mayor's Hurdle. But she's clearly very talented. And the opposition, it doesn't look that strong on the day.
So that's the 3 o'clock. Next up is the 3:35. That's an interesting renewal of the Cleve. Botox Hats, Champ, Dashiell Drasher, Paisley Park, Flight Deck, Noble Yates and Strong Leader. Plenty of familiar names in this one. And I think, guys, you're both in agreement. Come to you first, Harry. A purple rain for Paisley Park.
Yeah, I hope he wins this race again on Saturday. I think he deserves to after two close efforts on his past two starts. It would have been, I would say, wise to think he was going to start regressing at this stage of career. Now he's a 12-year-old. But I was actually at the Newbury Gallop this morning towards the end of last year. And Barry Fenty's regular work rider said that he's full of beans at home and he still feels as good as he once was. In the past as well. So I think he's still got all of his ability. He's just been a little bit unlucky to lose on his past couple of starts. I thought that effort behind Crambo last time out was a good one, the horse on the upgrade and hopefully going to be a leading player for the Stayers Hurdle. But yeah, I just think he's a really likeable horse, isn't he? I can't sing his praises enough, really. He seems to be around forever. He's been brilliantly campaigned by Emma Lavelle, and I think he's definitely going to go close again. The only slight worry I've got is maybe the ground might be a shade too quick for him on Saturday, maybe if it continues to dry out. But I think he's the most likely winner. But it's a race that's going to be one to savour, hopefully. And Noble Yates in there too. I did have a good look at it last night, but I just wasn't sure whether he's going to show his best form here with probably the Grand National in mind again this season. So I have a process of elimination with all his rivals. I thought Paisley Park was the one to side with. Hopefully bring the house down at Cheltenham on Saturday.
Andy, here's a look at his 2022 Cleve Hurdle win. Of course, he's looking for a third win in the race. This was a pretty dramatic win from start to finish.
Indeed, yeah. He played up, didn't he, at the start before this race, and then typical Paisley Park, absolutely flying home at the end there, sort of finally hits top gear. I mean, Andrew Gemmell's owner, he's a huge Prince fan, very wise fellow. I'm a huge Prince fan myself, and of course Paisley Park is a nod to Prince. One of Prince's records that you might not be familiar with is a track called Joy in Repetition, and there certainly is joy in repetition here. I mean, you mentioned he was after a third Cleve Hurdle win. This is actually will be a fourth Cleve Hurdle win. He's won it so many times, Danny, you've lost track of how many times the great Paisley Park has done it. I mean, this horse has run, I had a little tally up, I think he's run the best part of 90 miles. He must have jumped 350 flights of hurdle. He's never fallen, never unseated. I don't put a jinx on him there. You know, he's just been a tremendous ambassador for the sport, and here he is seeking a fourth Cleve at the age of 12. I mean, this is almost like a veterans race here. It's a weak division, and he just seems to be as good as ever. In fact, if anything, this year he's travelled so much sweeter in his races. We're used to him, you know, maybe playing up at the start, being off the bridle, hitting flat patches. He's travelled like an absolute dream for Tom Bellamy this year. I don't know, maybe refers Tom Bellamy to Aidan Coleman, but for whatever reason, he just looks a happier horse to me this season. His two runs, he's very unlucky not to have turned up here with a long distance win at Newbury under his belt, and also, you know, was just nutted in the long walk hurdle last time where he had several of these these behind again. We know he loves Cheltenham, he's got the best form, and yeah, here's to more joy and repetition, I hope.
Okay, two votes then for Paisley Park in the Cleve Hurdle. And we culminate with the 410, which is an interesting race because there's a couple of exciting novices in this. Chock-a-Block, Antrim Coast, Gidley Park, Isaac de Zobo, Johnny Who, Lord of Thunder, Lucky Place and Moon d'Orange. And your nap of the day runs in this, Andy Stevens.
Yeah, don't leave early on Saturday. Don't be tempted to beat the traffic. Gidley Park, this horse could be a superstar. I really hope so. Here he's winning at Exeter. This probably doesn't. He's in the coming through there in the orangey kind of ready colours. He's a really big unit. He's got Denman and Silverburn in his pedigree. They've had to be patient with him. This probably didn't show him to absolute best advantages. So this was over 2 miles at Exeter, but he's very strong at the finish. He then went on to Newbury and absolutely over 2.5 miles and again was tremendous at the finish of the race. Very, very strong. And his form, it keeps stacking up. When he won his Chepstow bumper, the runner-up there came out and won his next three races and also was not beaten far in the Challow. The horse he beat last time at Newbury, that he'd finished a really good finish, second in a listed bumper at Cheltenham. But he wiped the floor of them, and he's got all the attributes this horse to go a long way. I'll just give you, I'd look at the race IQ data with him as well, and the lengths gained with his jumping, even for a big horse, he's got very nimble feet. He gained 18 lengths, or the best part of, at Exeter, and he gained another 12 last time at Newbury. You know, he dances around at his hurdles. He's pretty quick over them for a big horse that doesn't often follow. But clearly, you know, he's pretty slick in that department. He looks like he could gallop all day. I'm not sure if they've got the 2.5 mile or the Albert Bartlett in mind for him at the festival. But a massively exciting horse. I hope they get a clear path for him, the Harry Fry team, because they've got a really good one on their hands.
Okay, similar thoughts to me, really. Just a quick look at Johnny who won at Carlisle. He's since gone on to finish fourth behind Captain Teague in the Challow. Concern for me with Johnny Who, Harry, would just be it looked a tough race in the Challow. They were finishing tied. It was testing ground. And he's got to back that up only 3 weeks later, effectively.
Yeah, I'd have to agree, Danny. It was a real slog, wasn't it, in the Newbury Show piece last time out. He'll do well to win this race, I think, off the back of the outing. And I think he probably needs a little bit further as well, maybe, staying on at the finish that day. And he's definitely a horse for the future. But I'm in agreement with Andy here with Gidley Park as well. And, of course, you, Danny. I thought he looked an absolute superstar at Newbury last time out. Harry Fry was keeping his cards close to his chest after that run as to where he will be aimed at the Cheltenham Festival, Ballymore or Albert Bartlett. But I think he is going to go for the Ballymore, what was called the Ballymore, I should say now. He looks a real exciting prospect, doesn't he? I was so impressed him at Newbury last time out. I would say he's still a bit of a work in progress. He still looked a little bit green on a couple of occasions up the straight last time out. And obviously on that replay, we saw Exeter just then as well. But he's the most likely winner here. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he does go towards the top of the betting even though there is a couple of good Irish horses prominent in the betting at the moment for the Cheltenham Festival, I've actually backed some anti-post as well. So probably talk out of pocket a little bit there as well. But I honestly think he's a superstar in the making, and I hope he delivers an impressive performance on Saturday.
So there you go then. That's the selections from the guys. Andy's Knapp is in the 410 Gidley Park. I'm going to join him, jump on the coattails. And Harry's Knapp is tighten our belts in the 1240. Thanks very much for watching. Remember, you can watch every race live from Cheltenham on Saturday, live on Racing TV. And you can also start your 3 1-month trial as well. Head to the Racing TV website for the latest news. Watch all the replays and get tips from the likes of Andy and Dave Neverson. Thanks very much for watching. Just remember to please gamble responsibly.